And turn to the book of Revelation, last book in the Bible, Revelation chapter 4. Last week I began a three-part series of messages surrounded around the idea of forward through prayer, forward through prayer. And last Sunday we looked at the important matter that we just start in prayer. I trust in this past week as I prayed for you. Many of you marked on your connection card last week that you wanted to spend 5 minutes every day in prayer. I trust that you were able to realize that. Maybe you even spent more time than 5 minutes in prayer. That's great. But we have to start somewhere, and I'm so thankful for the privilege that we have coming before the Lord and just praying. And what a privilege that is. So notice here now in Revelation chapter 4, I'm going to read the whole chapter. So follow along as I read this morning, and then we'll have prayer and I'll have you be seated. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that was sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Now what I really want you as I'm reading through this is really concentrate on is this idea of the throne, okay? This has a lot to do with when we go to the Lord in prayer, we get the privilege of going before the throne to pray. So keep that in mind as we continue to read. Verse 6. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." When those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Keep your place there, because this morning I want to preach a message entitled, "Come Before the Throne." Let's pray together. Our Father, I do thank you now for the power of your word. Thank you for this heavenly scene that is before us in Scripture. And help us to see how that it can apply to us in this matter of our prayer life. And how that we are to grow in prayer and help us to just get a better glimpse of what is all involved in the practice of prayer. Give us victory in this area, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Revelation chapter 4 is where we are this morning. We'll link this with Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse 16 as we go through the message. What a heavenly scene this is here in Revelation chapter 4. In fact, I want you to imagine that you walk through the halls of a magnificent royal court. As you reach the entrance of the throne room, you peer through the doorway and see the king on his spectacular throne. Royal guards are posted along the way, and sentries stand at the door. But they do not stop you as you walk. They ask for no credentials or letters of introduction. You need not register with the king's aid. There is no protocol that must be observed. For as you enter the throne room, you say the word which brings the king rushing to you, Abba, Father. Now, may I say to you this morning that you not only have to just imagine that, you can realize this in your daily life, that you get the privilege of going to the Lord in prayer. You get the privilege of going before the throne and just spending time with God in prayer. In fact, the Bible tells us that we are to come boldly before the throne of grace. And so when you think about this matter of prayer, I want you to consider with me this morning what a privilege it is to be able to carry everything to God in prayer. I mean, that's a privilege, folks, that you may think, well, this is too small of a matter to really pray about. God doesn't want to be bothered with this. He only wants to be bothered with the big things. But I'm here to tell you from the Word of God that God delights in hearing your prayer. God wants you to pray. And we're so thankful this morning that we have the privilege of entering into His presence. So let me give you a key takeaway at the outset of this message that I want you to get, and I trust that you'll get it, and let it sink deep down in your heart, and that is this, is that we have access to the throne room of God when we pray. So when we pray, let's pray with humility and boldness. So let's look here this morning in this passage of Scripture, some truths about coming before the throne. Would you notice here in this passage that we see that it is a throne of welcome? Because in verse number 1, John the Revelator is invited to come up hither. This is the fact that he goes into the presence of the Lord, and when he gets there, he notices this spectacular throne. And the fact that the Bible here in verse number 1 starts off with the word come. Come is a very popular word throughout all of the Word of God. For instance, we find in Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 28, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." While you're in the book of Revelation, go to the last chapter, Revelation chapter 22, and notice how then that the Bible closes out with a special invitation. Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 17. The Bible says, "And the Spirit and the bride say what, church? Come. And let him that heareth say what? Come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." So the Word of God here stresses for us the great popular word of coming. And when we pray, in essence, we are taking the Lord up on His invitation to come. Come before the throne. Come boldly before the throne. Come with a spirit of meekness before the throne. Now, as I look at here in chapter 4 and 5 of Revelation, I see some things that tell me about this throne. One is a throne of salvation. Notice with me that we find in chapter 5, verse number 11, "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.'" Now, I won't get into all the details with you, but you do see the church raptured at this point. The church of Jesus Christ is now in the presence of the Lord here in chapter 4 and chapter 5. And we see in these particular chapters that there are 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. I mean, our minds can't comprehend those numbers, but it tells us this, that there are multitude without number who are going to be in the presence of the Lord at this particular juncture, and it's going to come to pass. But we see that it's those who are gathered there because they, at one point in their life on earth, cried out and said, "Lord, save me." These are saved individuals gathered round the throne, crying out and saying, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." And so around that throne, it is a throne of salvation. And then think of this, it's a throne of supplication. Because we find that it can be a place of prayer. Now, where I'm transitioning with that is in Hebrews chapter 4. So turn there with me, would you? Hebrews chapter 4. And I want you to start with me at verse number 4 of this particular chapter. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14, excuse me. Hebrews 4 and verse 14. Where the Word of God says this to us, seeing then that we have a great high priest, this is Jesus, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Hey, aren't you glad, by the way, today that you don't have to go to a man to confess your sin? You can go straight to the throne room of God, and you can go there because of the Lord Jesus, our great high priest. Now look at verse number 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with our feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Based on all that then, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So when we come before this throne in prayer, it's not only a throne of salvation, we not only have the privilege of praying because we are saved, but we have the privilege of praying with a great sense of fervency, a great sense of urgency, a great sense of worship, and praying on behalf of others. And it's a throne of supplication. I read that there was a father and husband who had been away in a war. He was coming home, and the wife and son had been praying every day for him to come home safely. They had done this for the entire time the man of the house had been away. The phone rang, and the husband told his wife that he was nearly home and expected to be there in about 2 hours. She called their son into the room and told him, "Your father will be home very soon." The little boy was all excited. "You mean it? He's on his way home?" The mom replied, "Oh, yes, he is nearly home and he's going to be here shortly." The little boy said, "Wow, that's great. Now we can stop praying." Now you just think about that. Just a little cute little story, but sometimes we only seem to pray in the heat of the moment. We only seem to pray when things are really intense in our life or when we have a real strong need. Boy, we'll get on Facebook, "Please pray, please pray, please pray," and all of that. And there's times to do that. I'm not negating that. But what I'm saying is sometimes when the need is over with, we go back to our normal kind of life and we don't pray with that intensity that we ought to just keep praying with. And the Bible teaches us that prayer is a way of life, not a fire escape. And we get the privilege of praying for others. Look with me, if you would, in Ephesians chapter 6. You have Bible in hand there. Ephesians chapter 6. And notice now, if you would, verse number 18. Ephesians 6 and verse 18. And notice what the Word of God here teaches us. Speaking of prayer, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So when you and I pray, yes, we can pray about our own needs, but we can also pray for one another. We can pray for fellow Christians. And what a privilege that is. To have people maybe text you and say, "Hey, pray for me specifically right now for whatever the need may be." Or pray, "In a week I'm going to be having surgery." And these kinds of things, but we get the privilege of praying one for another. In fact, if you look at verse 19 of Ephesians 6, this is the Apostle Paul. He says, "And pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." What's he doing? He's saying, "Hey, I want you to pray for me. I need your prayers. Let's pray for each other. But I'm asking you, here's a prayer request. Would you pray for me that a door of utterance would be opened, that I would boldly proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ?" And so, church family, it is a great privilege for us to pray for one another. But it's also a great privilege for us to pray for souls to be saved. Go with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. I read through the book of Romans this week as we're reading through our daily 90-day plan this year. But notice in Romans chapter 9, and what struck me just afresh and anew, not only did it strike me, but it really broke me before God. I just had to do some repenting before God and just had to get right with God in an area here in my life. And notice in Romans chapter 9 and verse number 1, I'm going to read down through verse number 3. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Now, Paul is the one that wrote the book of Romans, and so it's his testimony. And he's saying that, hey, I'm telling you the truth. I'm not fibbing here. I'm just really being transparent before you. He says, verse 2, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed, that is, cut off from Christ, for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. And he goes on down and describes them. But what struck me, broke me, even brought me to tears, was this. Here is a great apostle Paul, a man who wrote half of the New Testament scripture. But he says, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart for people to be saved. And what just stood out to me was this. Do I have that? Do I really in my prayer life, am I busier trying to keep people out of heaven than I am by keeping them out of hell through my prayer life? Say, what do you mean by that? Do you notice how many times, and there is again all kinds, I just taught this to you, we ought to pray for one another, but you know how often our prayer requests are this, pray for so-and-so that his toe will get better, pray for so-and-so that he'll get healed, pray for and again, I'm not saying there's not room for that, but I had to think about this. How much is our prayer life consumed with praying for the Christian in comparison to how much do I really pray for the unsaved? In fact, how much time did you pray this week with a sense of passion like Paul did, where he even went so far, I could wish I could be cut off from Christ so that you could come to Jesus? Now, I've never prayed that, but he did. He says, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Now, with that, go to chapter 10 of Romans. Look what he says now in chapter 10. He says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Wow. He was not only busy praying for the saved, he was busy praying for the Israelites, as the Bible calls them here. He was praying for his own people, that they would come to Christ. He was passionate about this. He was driven to his knees. He had great heaviness and continual sorrow over these unsaved people. And I just had to ask myself, oh God, do I even have that anymore? Do I really have this passion to see people saved? Does my prayer life even indicate anywhere that I really am that passionate about seeing people saved? I'll confess to you, church. I confessed it before God first, but I'm confessing to you this morning. I didn't have it. Not the way I should in my own prayer life. Oh, to be sure, how many times will, you know, hey, Lord, save John today. Hey, save Joe today. Save whoever today. And kind of go about our way. With Paul, it was more than just mentioning a name. It was just heavy on his heart. He just prayed and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed that people would be saved. It broke him. He was moved to tears over it. And so when we pray, we come before the throne of salvation, the throne of supplication, praying for the saved, praying for the unsaved. The songwriter wrote, sweet hour prayer, that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known in seasons of distress and grief. My soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare, by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. So when we come before the throne, we're coming before the throne of salvation, the throne of supplication, and the throne of separation. Look at this now in verse number 2, back to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, now look at verse number 2. And immediately I was in the Spirit. Now he is having the privilege of meeting with God before the throne, separated from the worldly affairs. And mind you, where was John when he wrote this letter? He was exiled on the Isle of Patmos for living for the Lord, standing for the Lord, but now he's exiled. But God uses him there. And so now he is separated from the worldly affairs and put in the atmosphere of glory. May I say to you, church, this morning, is prayer that sweet to you? Is prayer that precious to you? I mean, last week I challenged you to try to spend 5 minutes every day in prayer. Now you stop and think about it. That, in comparison to time, that's not obviously a lot of time. But what is really neat, when you begin to grow in your prayer life, you might look at your watch and you begin to pray. And then when you're done, you might look at your watch again, and it will surprise you how much time you just spent with the Lord in prayer. Now, I don't stand before you this morning as one who has arrived in my prayer life, but I can tell you this. I rarely look at my watch when I pray, but I have this great privilege. When I start in prayer, it's just a precious time to go and just get lost, if you would, in the wonder of being in God's presence. That's a privilege, folks. That I can come before the Lord in prayer and not just ask, but I can just spend some time saying, Lord, I love you. You're holy. You're just. You're righteous. You're my Father. Thank you for saving me. And I just get lost in the wonder of it all. And before you know it, you have just spent an hour in prayer, which you thought you never could do. Again, I'm not trying to quantify how much time you have to spend in prayer. But I do say this is probably more than you realize that you need to. That we need to really go more and more to the Lord in prayer. And so John is caught up in the Spirit, separated from the worldly affairs for a while, just to go before the throne. What a privilege. But notice something else in this text in Revelation chapter 4 and 5. It's also a throne, not only of welcome, but it's a throne of wonder. Now just let me touch on this. We see that the person on the throne is none other than the Lord Jesus. And there is a promise from the throne. Look at verse 3. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Now you know what is significant about a rainbow, don't you? Most of you do anyway. Yeah, they're beautiful, and praise God for them. But it goes all the way back in the book of Genesis when God had flooded the earth, and then he had put a beautiful rainbow, a promise that he would never flood the earth again. And what is about the throne? A rainbow. And when we pray, church family, we can come before the Lord on the basis of his promises. For instance, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Matthew 21, 22, and all things whatsoever shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. 1 John chapter 5, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. I mean, I could just keep going on and on, but the point is this, that when we pray with the promises of God in mind. I love Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. How many of you have seen some of those great and mighty things that you know not of? I have. I thank the Lord for them. But I'm telling you, it just keeps encouraging me to keep coming back to the throne, keeps coming back and saying, God, I have this need. God, I have this before you, before me, and I just bring it to you. And it's just amazing how God answers prayer. And so we find in the context, we see that Jesus is on this throne with a rainbow signifying a promise. And then in verse number 5, we see the power around the throne. Look at this now. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. What a moment this was, but it was showing the power of God available in His presence. And church family, I want to encourage you, I just touched on this just a minute ago, that when you pray, you can lay hold on the promises because God delights in answering prayer. He delights in showing Himself powerful. And when was the last time you saw God, through prayer, do something powerful? I love the statement, "Thou art coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring." In other words, when you pray, pray big. When was the last time you prayed big? I mean, when was the last time you really stepped out on faith and just really prayed something big for God to do? Now, granted, there's nothing God cannot do. God is all powerful. But when was the last time you prayed big prayers? You say, well, what's the difference between little prayer and big prayer? Well, here's how I look at it. You may look at it a little bit differently. Little prayers are something like this to me. Lord, thank you for the day. Help me as I go through my day. Thank you for the food. Again, nothing wrong with any of that. But big prayers are when you're really up against something and you really want to see God come through. And you see God come through. God delights in doing that which humanly is impossible, but not impossible with Him. And so it's the power around the throne. Now look, if you would, in chapter number 4 now, verse number 10, and we see this last thing, the praise and worship around this throne. The 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Now stay with me, church family. When we pray, we ask. When we pray for others, saved and unsaved alike. But when we pray, we need to learn to worship and praise the Lord. Have you ever gone before the throne and not ask for anything, but just praise God for the whole time you prayed? And said, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I praise you for who you are. You see, around this throne that John saw, he saw the Lord Jesus, and he saw Him seated on the throne, and he sees Him in this context as the worthy Lamb that was slain. And as you think of this, church, you and I, when we pray, we need to take time just to praise the Lord. I know prayer is asking and receiving, but prayer also is taking the time to praise Him. So, church family, we have access to the throne room of God when we pray. So pray with humility and pray with boldness. I draw your attention back to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16, where again the Bible says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. I remember a few years ago, and we just sang the song this morning. Well, I had an individual approach me and say, Pastor, I disagree with that song. which struck me because it's like a great hymn of the faith. And he said, I disagree with, not necessarily the total song, but I disagree with that phrase where I come boldly before the throne. And I listened to him, and I was kind in my response. I said, well, you can have your opinion on that, but I totally agree with it, and here's why. The Bible says to come boldly before the throne. We're coming before the King. We're coming before God of the universe. That in itself is humbling, right? But the Bible says, let us come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So, church family, 4 points of application, and then we're through. Number one, come humbly before God when you pray as a little child. Come humbly. Come, secondly, come boldly when you pray. You're coming before the King. Pray big prayers. How many times have you asked for something and God did answer? But how many times have you thought about this? Boy, I wish I would have prayed in a bigger way. I have. And again, not that I'm trying to consume it, as the Bible says, on my own lust. Because here's what I saw God do. Not only did He answer, but He did exceedingly abundant above what I asked for. That's just like God. That's just the God we serve. So come boldly when you pray. Come constantly. The Bible says in Romans 12:12, continuing instant in prayer. Just keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. Say, is there a time when I should cease praying? No, because the Bible says pray without ceasing. Does that mean I have to be in church to pray? No. You can pray driving down the road. Keep your eyes open, but you can pray driving down the road. You can pray before you pillow your head at night. You can pray when you're at work. Now keep working, but be in that spirit of prayer. You can pray when you're at school. You can pray anywhere. You can be in that spirit of prayer, but just continue. The Bible says, continue instant. Just stay at it. Just keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. And then come confidently when you pray. Boldly, but come confidently. Because what does the Bible say? That you'll be able to receive mercy and grace in time of need. You see, our Lord does invite us this morning that when we pray, we come before His throne. What a privilege. What a privilege that we have. I love that old hymn that we sing from time to time. I'm a child of the King. So with that, I come before Him with large petitions. He delights in hearing us pray. So let's pray. Jesus has made a way, church family. The throne room is waiting. God's heart and arms are open to you today. Your name is on the guest list. So all you need to do is come. Come to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray together. Now, Father, thank You for what You've been teaching me. Just even this past week, convicting me, breaking me, challenging me in this spirit of prayer and practice of prayer. It can be a sweet hour when we spend with You in prayer. And help us to realize that we get the privilege of coming into Your throne room, coming before the throne room of grace, and knowing with confidence that we'll find grace and mercy to help in time of need. So stir us up, help us to practice prayer more and more and more. Grow us in this area. And Father, challenge us this week to add to our prayer life praying for people to be saved. not just a kind of passing mention, but with a continual heaviness and sorrow in our heart, that they would come to know the Lord Jesus, whoever they may be. It may be a friend, a co-worker, a relative, but someone that is heavy on our heart. Help us to spend a lot of time this week praying for people to be saved. Help us to come before you with humility, with boldness, with confidence, knowing that you hear and answer prayer. But that one word stands out, come. So this morning there are those who just need to get to first base and just come. Just start in prayer. Just get into the habit of praying. For others, there are others who just need to go deeper in their practice of prayer. So strengthen them, help them. In Jesus' name. Now their heads bowed.